My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perek Tes. The star of Perek Tes is Yerushalayim, with a focus on the community of Jews that resettled in Yerushalayim in Ezra's time. The first pasuk in our Perek serves as a closing bookend to the last eight prakim. Pasuk Aleph reads, V'chol Yisrael hisyachasu v'hinam k'suvim al sefer malchei Yisrael v'Yehuda, v'Yehuda haglu l'bavel b'ma'alam. All of Israel were registered by genealogies. This refers specifically to Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom. And behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. Ezra is telling us, as a bookend to the previous eight prakim, that although his recorded genealogies of the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, were limited by what was available to him, it's not that their full records didn't exist. They were written in Sefer Malchus Yisrael, the book of the kings of Israel. But that book was lost when the northern kingdom was exiled. The pasuk continues, V'Yehuda haglu l'Bavel b'ma'alam, and Malchus Yehuda, the southern kingdom, was exiled to Bavel. Since Ezra was exiled along with them, he had access to their records, and those he presented in greater detail. Furthermore, in contrast to the 10 tribes, the tribes of Yehuda, the southern kingdom, returned, leading us to our current perek regarding the returnees. Two introductory notes. One, you might have noticed that Ephraim and Manasseh are mentioned in this perek. In a later perek, Naphtali and Zebulun also show up. While most of the northern kingdom was exiled to Assyria and did not come back, there were some individuals from the 10 tribes that remained in their land. There also might have been individuals from the 10 tribes who had been living in the territories of the southern kingdom at the time of the exile, and they were exiled to Bavel along with Yehuda, and they did come back. So while for the most part the returnees are going to be from Yehuda and Binyamin and Levi, there were representatives of other Shvatim as well. A second point is that the list of inhabitants of Yerushalayim in this perek overlaps to a large extent with Nehemiah Perek Yud Aleph, with the lists either being the same or Nehemiah supplementing with information that was unavailable to Ezra. Continuing on in the Perek, Pasuk Beis tells us that the first round of returnees, the ones that came with Zerubbabel, included Kohanim, Levim, and Nesinim. The Nesinim were servants descended from the Givonim, a group of Canaanites, who tried to trick Yoshua into allowing them to convert by disguising who they were. As a result of that incident, Yoshua Perek Tes tells us that Yoshua gave them over, hence the root Nasan, to give. He gave them over to be woodchoppers and water carriers for the temple. The pasuk tells us that these first settlers, Hayoshvim Harishonim, settled ba'achuzasam ba'areihem, in the cities of their ancestral inheritance, where their ancestors had lived before they were exiled. The first settlers did not settle in Yerushalayim. What was the state of Yerushalayim at that time? Following the destruction and the exile, the land remained undeveloped and underpopulated, even after the first two waves of returnees with Zerubbabel and Ezra came back. When the third wave of returnees came with Nehemiah, which was already decades after the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, he still describes the city of Yerushalayim in Nehemiah Perek Zion as Rachvas Yadayim Ugdola, broad and large, V'ha'am Ma'apesocha, and the people in it were few. Ve'in Batim Bnuyim, and houses were not yet built. Once Nehemiah came and built walls around the city to make it more secure, a strategic effort was made to settle the city. Nehemiah Perek Yud Aleph tells us that at first only the officers and leaders settled in Yerushalayim, and that in general the people preferred to remain in the outlying areas where there was more space and it was easier to farm. So Nehemiah had to get strategic. He instituted a lottery in which one out of every 10 families was required to move to Yerushalayim. Pesukim Gimel through Lamed Daled lists the early resettlers. Ephraim and Manasseh are mentioned in passing, and then the Pesukim lists the families of Yehuda and Binyamin and their numbers, 690 for Yehuda and 956 for Binyamin. Moving on to Shevet Levi, the families of the Kohanim totaled 1,730 people. The largest section of our perek deals with the families of the Levim and their roles in the Beis HaMikdash. In addition to being musicians, the Levim did everything related to the maintenance and operations of the Beis HaMikdash, all encompassed under the title Shoarim, which means gatekeepers. Pasuk Yudches begins, V'ad Hena, and until now, B'shar HaMelech Mizracha Hema HaShoarim. The gatekeepers were positioned at the gate of the king. Radak says that V'ad Hena, until now, refers to the fact that the system that was implemented by Ezra during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash remained exactly the same as it was in the first temple, with the keepers stationed at the gate through which the king used to enter. This is a theme that we see repeatedly highlighted by Ezra, the author of Divrei Hayamim, that the second temple generation, Ezra's immediate audience, are the continuation of their first temple ancestors, and as such, everything that was instituted was done in exactly the same way. Pasuk Chaf Beis says that the number of gatekeepers total 212. Hema Yisad David Ushmul Haro'eh, as had been established in the first temple period by David and the prophet Shmuel. Malbim explains where the number 212 comes from. The Levim, like the Kohanim, were divided into mishmaros, watches, with each mishmar working a week at a time on a rotating basis. Each mishmar of the mishmaros was further divided into families, with each family within the mishmar serving one day out of the week. A total of 30 people worked at a time, 24 gatekeepers, and 6 supervisory assignments, with responsibility over the following 6 areas that are mentioned in the psukim: 1, the chambers; 2, the treasuries; 3, the vessels; 4, the utensils, including the flour and wine; 5, the baking of the flat cakes, called chavitin; and 6, the lechem hapanim, the showbread. 24 gatekeepers plus 6 supervisors gives 30 people a day. Spanning 7 days gives us 7 times 30, 210. In addition, the supervisors and the gatekeepers each had an executive officer who would organize and assign the various duties, giving an extra 2 for a total of 212. The musicians were separate from this accounting. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Ve'ela ha-mishorim, rashei avos la-levim ba-lishakos, piturim, kiyomam v'layla aleihem b'mlacha. And these are the singers who dwelled in the chambers and were released. They were exempt from other service, for they were busy with their work day and night. There were no sacrifices offered at night, so they weren't actually performing at night, but presumably they were composing and practicing. The Psukim go on to tell us that the system of the Levium service implemented by Ezra was not only a reflection of what it was in David HaMelech's time during the first temple, it dated further back to the camp of the Levium around the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Psukim Yates and Chaf read as follows, V'shalom ben Kori ben Evyasaf ben Korach ve'achav levesav usam ha'korchem, Shalom, the son of Avyasaf, the son of Korach, and his brothers, Amalachas ha'avoda, shomrei ha'sipim la'ohel, va'avoseihem al machan ha'ashem, shomrei ha'mavo. This family of Korachites were keepers of the tent. The tent being the ohel moed, in other words, the Mishkan. And the pasuk continues, U'Pinchas ben Elazar nagid haya alehem. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, Pinchas was the supervisor over them, lifanim, in the past. The perek weaves together the past, the camp of the Levim around the Mishkan, the institution of the gatekeepers in David HaMelech's time, with the present, the institution of the gatekeepers in Ezra's time. In doing so, Ezra is emphasizing to his generation that they are part of a continuum going back to antiquity, and that they are the important connecting link between an earlier glorious history and the restored greatness that is yet to come. The final section of Perek Tes deals with the lineage of Shaul HaMelech, and is a repetition of the end of the last Perek Ches. These psukim are included in Perek Ches because that perek deals with the families of Shevet Binyamin, and Shaul descends from Shevet Binyamin. The psukim are repeated here as a segue into Perek Yud, the next perek, which begins with Shaul's death. I'll end this perek and the first half of Divrei Hayamim Aleph, which is actually closer to a third, not a half, but it's the first major section of Divrei Hayamim Aleph, with the following question. What is the connection between Perek Tes, the Perek of Yerushalayim, and Prakim Aleph through Ches, the genealogy Prakim that precede it? The art scroll Divrei Hayamim explains how both Perek Tes and Prakim Aleph through Ches highlight aspects of the same process. The Gemara in Kedushin says that Hashem rests his presence only on Jewish families whose lineage is not tainted by immorality or intermarriage, Mishpachos Miyuchasos B'Yisrael. Ezra set out to present the purity of the returning exiles in Prakim Aleph through Ches by demonstrating their direct descent from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and thus their worthiness of Hashem's presence. In Perek Tes, Ezra describes another piece of this same puzzle, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the place from where the Shekhinah flows to the rest of the world. Both the people, the subject of Prakim Aleph through Ches, the nation of pure descent, and the place, the subject of Perek Tes, the rebuilt Yerushalayim, are necessary to provide the setting and the conditions for the restored presence of Hashem's Shekhinah and the ultimate redemption. This shiur is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.